Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change, we still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles
Rosen.
Did
I say that?
Jeez. Mary Mullen.
This heinous thing about the real person, and we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests and all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Hey, so here we are on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. People are already commenting. Simon Moon, our friend, said this episode means a lot to me. So right off the bat, people are kind of talking about how important of a episode this is. And, of course, we have Caroline here with us. Caroline, thanks for joining us. How are you? You're in Atlanta, I think, right?
Yeah, I just arrived in Atlanta. We're doing the second season of Sweet Magnolias, and the heat hasn't really hit us yet. The humidity isn't too bad. We've still got our cooling tents when it does get very humid, but it's lovely being here. It's a beautiful city.
And Larry, East Coast, all good?
Very good here. You know, weather's wonderful. My younger son came in here. His golf clubs arrived before he did. You know, I don't get it, but whatever. We're happy.
And Charles, how's everything going on in Venice Beach?
Good. You know, got some, just did a little gardening yesterday, and it's getting hotter, so you got to water the plants every other day now. You can't.
Yeah, I know.
A couple times a week. You know, Atlanta, of course, you have to do them every 15 minutes.
But. Well, and as we get started here, Caroline, we always love reunions here on this show. So we thought we'd bring our friend on here to say hello to you, Mr. Matthew Lawrence.
Oh, my Lord. Hi. How are you?
Melon Shilla Silver.
There he is. There in his eye.
Guys, it's been like, I don't know, 3 weeks since I saw you. I'm kind of going through withdrawal here. Carol, it's so great to see you.
It's lovely to see you too. Gosh, what a beautiful surprise.
This episode, out of all, I was blessed to do many. This episode is my favorite one of any that I did. Obviously, it meant the most in terms of Brian and myself, and the whole thing was just a remarkable experience. And I would say you had a lot to do with that. That's what I would say.
Yeah, Chuck, I wanted to start with you looking back on this. Well, first of all, Matthew, how are you? How's all going in your world?
It's going. It's okay. It's better than it's been for the last 14 or 15 months. You know, we've talked about this before in terms of the pandemic. We're very lucky now. June 11th, I don't even know what month it is. We opened... fully, 100% opened, unless you haven't been vaccinated, but a great number of people here have been fully vaccinated. So things are starting to get back to kind of what we remember, and we're all healthy, and that's, my family is healthy, and my friends are healthy, and that's really all, and you guys are all healthy, so.
That's it, absolutely.
Well, you know, there was an interesting thing today, and I swear to God that this actually was had to be a conclusion of a news story today, that because they turned to over now 600,000 people passed away from this.
That's right.
Correctly, that they acknowledged COVID, And they were saying that the uptick they're having in people who are still passing away from COVID are people, what they have in common is they haven't been vaccinated.
That's the lottery. Correct. That's even that's better it. Than the lottery.
I mean, you're
correct.
Even months ago, when the guys would come over, we'd ask the guys who did some floors for us and different people, and I'd say, "Hey, are you guys, and we all still wearing our masks. You know, have you guys been vaccinated? Oh, are there everyone? You know, nice Hispanic man. Oh, I'm thinking about it. There, you're out and about. You know, you're gonna get right. sick. Help yourself. But right. Oh well.
Oh well. By the way,
Matthew brought up the conversation.
Yeah, we don't need to go there.
Okay, I just wanted to say things were good here and they're opening. I apologize. And I want you to say, I told Mikey here that Caroline was going to be doing this show, and he's a ham. He said, can I get in there?
Gotta be in there. Hey, the episode is The Song for My Mother, directed by Chip Chalmers, who really wanted to be here. We had a scheduling conflict. We thought he was going to be here. Yeah. He's going to be on next week, but I know he sends his best to you guys.
Wow. Back at him.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Well, Chuck, and for you guys, Charles and Larry, there's before we came on, Caroline mentioned this. There's a lot of heavy stuff that you guys talked about in this episode, from homelessness to mm-hmm. mental health to all of this stuff. Talk to me about how we kind of got into some of these topics. Let's start with Charles.
Well, in terms of the episode, I'm just thinking about the power of the episode. I mean, homelessness had been there. It was the first people who were homeless in Los Angeles were those who were discharged from mental institutions. So for me, the two have always been pretty much connected. That and veterans. Who are burnt out, and that I remember from being a boy, growing up in in Los Angeles, right near the VA, and you know that's so soldiers who fought in World War II and Korea would be, were out there, and that was it. But certainly, things are different. But I, what I thought was a real interesting part of the episode, and really built, maybe it's the writer's point of view, but how it was built in there with the idea that there you are, David, I'm finding my mother. Oh, she doesn't work here. She doesn't live here. She's not here. This whole how it built, how it just, I'm giving up this and I'm giving up that. You deplug, as it were, you deconnect, you turn inward, however imagery you want to set up to describe that process of being, of separating yourself from everything that is.
Yeah, what did you get arrested for? I remember there was kind of like a shade of like what, prostitution in there?
I think it was prostitution.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, we exploited it. Let's just face it. We were desperate, Chuck, as you know, for storylines. And we had a free shot there. And we thought it would have some legs, and it did. But within that, we really believed in it. And I think Jessica had some insight into this too for some reason. Yeah, I sort of remember that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For Caroline, do you remember getting the script, and what did you think of this?
Oh, I thought it was an absolutely extraordinary storyline. I had a cousin who was manic depressive, and what I thought was, the man who played the husband, to some viewers seemed a little unsympathetic how he could let go of his wife, my ex-husband, how he could let go of me and not worry about the, alimony checks and all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, mental illness.
Okay.
Worse than champagne. Worse than champagne.
It's your fault, Matthew.
It's always Mel Silver's fault.
The whole show is my fault.
I blame Dr. Silver.
You're terrible.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Illness. I thought one of the things that was so interesting, having grown up with my cousin who's severely mentally ill, spent most of his life in and out of institutions, was how trying it is on the rest of the family, and how aggressive they can be. When he said she broke every china, I remember one time calling him to see how he was, and he called me. For 10 minutes, he just called me every vile name you can think of. And it really wasn't him, but it was this hypermanic state he was in. I don't know who he thought I was. And we were very, very close friends. And you just sort of take a deep breath and think, okay, that's not them. But I mean, it's very stressful for family. And I thought that was brought out beautifully in the writing, you know, with the husband and why he didn't tell his son, which I think nowadays might be less believable, because I think parents are more open with their children, even about very difficult subjects. So I think probably if that story was, you know, it would be weirder that the father hadn't told him.
Mm. How about
you? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you think of this as the mid-90s,
right,
the mental illness would factor in, you know, it would have been there in the 70s and 80s. Yes, you would. This is not polite conversation. This is not happy times, you know. It's just it's something in the family, and you move, you know, it's not draw attention to it.
But I thought it was an extraordinarily advanced piece of television encapsulated in 90210. I mean, I thought that it was an incredibly brave and insightful show, and I was just thrilled to be, you know, a little part of it. I thought it was amazing.
Well, we were focused, you know, we just the idea of going to Portland and the mother being in Portland and Portland being kind of it always rains and,
right,
you know, and you wanted to have a kind of a conflict, and it just seemed that it was an interesting, my favorite part from the writing is Matthew, when you talk about the idea that when, you know, David was getting on drugs,
yeah,
and you know what that meant, what did it mean? Did that mean that this was the bipolar or whatever the mental,
right,
you know, disorders? And I thought that was really, you know, that's something I didn't even remember that we had.
Yeah, no, that's a cool moment.
Yeah. And something that I noticed in that too was when his father tells David, you know, you can't be doing drugs. You know, we all know now that schizophrenia can get triggered in the 30s in young people who do drugs. It's a triggering mechanism if you have it latent, you know. And again, did we know that back then? I don't even know if we knew that back then.
There was a question that came up for both of you, Charles and Larry, about how much research did you go into to find out about some of this mental illness stuff? Did you guys do a bunch of research on this?
You mean about what it was like to work on with the mentally ill? I was writing a television show.
We did. You know, research was different then. You couldn't just all of a sudden Google something. You had to actually, you know, order it up from a library. We talked to people. We did.
Well, we were advised in the first season that we did the show. We were advised by the Maple Center of Beverly Hills, which dealt a lot with the high school students and this Marty Nislick in charge of that. But after that, coming into our second and third year, we, you know, the Harvard School of Public Health was our backbone. And when you have the Harvard School of Public Health, they got researchers and they give you stuff and statistics, yeah. A really nice guy named Jay Winston used to be the liaison with
the next episode, Squash It. But, you know, but also our communal experience, you know, as, you know, people and writers who took experience of or know people, you know, I mean, we tried to make it real and honest, I think. And because, you know, like this was like an outlier episode, though, because, you know, when you look at it, Jason's not, you know, there's no Brandon character even in it. It's so odd. I totally forgot that and some of the other things, but it's so focused on this, on, you know, Dr. Mel Silver and David Silver and
David's search for his mother.
And I'm really glad seeing it. We did that because, you know, you were saying before, Chuck, how we kind of took the story down. First, he goes to her job, then we kind of go to her place, and he's just kind of taking the audience by the hand into this different circles of hell where she's going. And then, you know, and then we tied it into a classic, you know, triangle with Ray and Donna. And, you know, as we observed in our watch along, we were a little bit heavy handed on that storyline. So we didn't feel as good. But this was great.
For you, Matthew, you know, you've obviously done a lot of different things on 90210. We've talked about a bunch of those. When you get this script and you see this come in, you must be like, wow, this is going to be different. This is going to give me an opportunity to kind of, you know, play a little bit more and really showcase and act, right?
Well, immediately. And so much of this, we've talked about this. It wasn't that hard for me to do because of how much I love Brian. And that transfer of feeling for him that's what that episode was about. I mean, I hate to say this, but it wasn't so much about Caroline and her relationship. It was much, much more exclusively almost for me, Brian and my relationship. And is that me? Can you
hear me? I think it's Coach K. I think it's Coach K, man.
Oh, okay. You're a wise guy, Chuck.
Chuck's a wise. He retired, Chuck. He retired.
Yeah. Not yet. He's got a whole year, Larry. He's got a whole year. Be careful.
Let's take a
quick look. I retired.
Let's take a quick look at the scene here.
That with all the stuff that I went through in those 9 years, and we've talked about a lot of them, that's why I think this is my favorite episode, is that we really had a chance to, for our relationship, Brian and mine, to really get deep. And that's what that episode did. It was great. I mean, it was great for me.
Let's take a look at one of the scenes here. This is when they find Sheila.
Sheila. Sheila, it's me. Mel.
Mom, it's me, it's David. Mom, look at me, please. David. Yeah, Mom, it's me.
Wow, I get goosebumps just rewatching it.
Okay, here I go. Here I go. There I go.
Yep.
Get
touching.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Good tech job there. I like the lip split. The split lip is kind of good. The makeup on her.
Gotcha. Was,
yeah.
What do you remember about doing this, guys? Caroline?
I was very nervous about the scene. I remember that. And I remember feeling like it was real. David, I just thought that Brian was so extraordinary. I think he's such an amazing actor. And I thought he shone in this scene. I just, it makes me cry just to think about it. But he was amazing.
He was me too.
And I remember feeling very much like the character. When they had put those clothes on, and I was on take a big stretch of imagination, you know, I was on a street in the clothes and in the makeup.
Yeah. And
it felt extremely real. Just like the scene when I was carried out, when I overdosed, that felt so real, it was scary. You know, certain scenes. I've always remembered this scene, and they were brilliant, Brian Watts.
Yeah. For you guys looking back on this, Charles, Larry, and we watched it this week earlier, was this an episode that we've covered a lot of episodes here on the show, but when you looked back at this one, I was kind of blown away by this performance is really incredible. You know, what were your thoughts rewatching it this week, Charles?
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. We hired a camera team in Portland to like capture Portland, you know, go shoot. We did a lot of second unit there, and none of us went to Portland. We filmed most of this, I think, in like the Mid Wilshire district, if I remember. We built it around where the apartment was, and then the back. I think the alley was right there as well, and you know, and the different things. But, you know, one of my first thoughts watching it is that probably I don't know Portland at all then or now, but how much Portland must have changed since that was what was their downtown, you know, near the riverbank area of the, you know, the 90s. But it was something that I remember, you know, this was a period of time, too, that we were pretty much getting out of the serializations. We had done a big one big arc with Dylan, of course, and his money and getting the drugs and then getting it back, and then with Kelly and Professor Finley and a few other things. So the story arcs that we had were now we had ended, and we were also moving into like completion and things. We needed to figure out how do we get Andrea Zuckerman where she's going, and how do we get the Walshes where they're going to be going, you know, the next one. So there was a lot of the you know, that kind of maintenance that I was thinking about as we're doing the show, particularly because, you know, from our audience's point of view, certainly at the time they were making it, it's all about what's going on with Donna, David, and Ray. I mean, right. That's the tail that wags this dog, you know, in effect. And it was interesting. We saw that we took Ray's character, just made him too dark and mean and angry. And you know, we kind of let that happen because we wanted to, let's get the drama up. It went to places that made it hard for us to ever to redeem the character that he played, that Jimmy Walters played.
There was a lot of questions about the Ray thing. Go ahead, Larry.
I was going to say, I remember at the time thinking, first of all, we were doing this during Double Love. So like Chuck talks about the mechanics of it, a lot of it, you know, is dictated by, you know, we're producing a television show. So it was really helpful that we were only going to have part of the cast in this one because they could be shooting the other episode.
Right.
But at the time, I do remember thinking like, the audience is not going to love this episode, but we should really just do it with all our heart. And it's been really gratifying that people really like this episode because, you know, it holds up in time. You know, it shows we really kind of took something and ran.
Well, I didn't have the same doubt, Larry, about that because you were family members. It was, you know, they were discovering something more about the family and a deeper connection with the family. Had it been, you know, one of the things that becomes harder for me as the series generates and goes on year after year, I'm looking at characters who aren't immediately connected into the familia. This is Steve's parents, a mother and father, or this one or that. So these were. So in that respect, it was it had a deeper connection. But I certainly, you know, we would have to remember that we were writing for younger. We had a younger demographic. I used to always say when adults would stop me on the street, particularly, you know, usually men whose kids went to the same school as mine and telling me with pride that they never watched the series. And I just went, that's okay. You're not in my demographic.
What was your demographic?
When we started on Fox early on, right, we definitely were 12 to 24. We 12 to 27, 17. And then the next incantation, the 18
right. College.
So we had, that was our
34, I think, versus 34.
And then it went up to 34 for sure. And then we had, you know, we made it for a lot of, and we've gone over this before, but you know, really the early music choices, you know, Fox wasn't so happy that I was putting on oldies from a diner in Beverly Hills. And I said, well, you know, you're going to want some older people to watch this too, and you're going to have to get some hook with them. And so you did have the, you know, the 30s, some, you know, people reliving their high school in right. their 30s watching it and then having the connection of the oldies themselves.
Like the writers.
And like us.
Joanna wanted to know, was it always intended for David's mom to suffer with mental illness? Watching back on a Walsh Family Christmas, it seems like Mel is alluding to this about Sheila when he describes this about Sheila, when he describes how worried he is about her being alone on Christmas Eve.
Interesting.
I think so. I think there was that instability, even if it wasn't.
You're just going to say yes now.
The extent of what we were going to be going.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, the idea that the hold that you had over him, the drama, I can't stand being by myself on the, you know, what struck me as very kind of that Beverly Hills melodrama that I remember, not in my personal family with, you know, the doctor and the angel, but the rest of my friends. And there was lots of drama like that.
Yeah.
Michelle wanted to know, well, she asked about the research, and then also, was Fox okay with you guys tackling mental illness as a subject?
Yes, this was season 5. They didn't care.
They didn't care, right.
there was kissing in this episode, I know.
So. That's right, and, you know, and music and...
Caroline, I don't know if we talked about this last time you were here, but you came into season 5. It's a big show. Do you remember auditioning for the show and getting into this?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I do remember the audition. I remember the room. I remember people sitting there. I remember being really, really nervous. And I have to say, I mean, I don't know how many auditions I've done in the last 50 years, 45, 50 years, but probably thousands and thousands and thousands. And I can certainly say that this was one of the jobs that I was the most thrilled to get.
Oh.
I was a theater actress from New York. You know,
You hit it really well.
We like that about you.
But you know, I remember almost fainting with joy. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. And it's funny because and I loved the young people on the show. They were all so sweet to me. You know, I just sort of came sailing in and, oh, I'm your mother and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, the Thanksgiving episode, I loved it. It was like one of the happiest sort of little jumping in and out of a series I think I've ever done.
Matthew, do you remember working with Caroline? I know she's here, so we have to say nice things.
Yes, I do.
I'm old. I can take it.
Of course I do. This was, as I said, this was a big part of culminating with that episode. People, I've said this to you guys before, and I'm sure it happens sometimes with Caroline. I get texts with pictures from different episodes from my friends all the time. You know, I'm sitting here watching the show and here you are again or whatever. The picture that always gets me is the picture of us with you in the hospital bed, Caroline, and Brian and I standing next to, that bed. That picture always gets me when somebody sends it to me. It meant a lot to me. And she, you know, I don't care what these guys think about New York theater actors. That was my training too. But you can, when you work with somebody, you can always tell somebody who has been trained in the theater.
Sure. Always.
And that was you when you came. And
yeah. I didn't know how to hit my marks very well, but I need to stand back.
And it's funny, when he was talking about that New York theater actor, I was thinking about the importance of marks. But
I know. And even now, I'm not brilliant at it.
I was going to be looking down all the time. It never makes any sense.
I think Paul Wagner also really appreciated Broadway actors and New York actors too.
He was
very instrumental in a lot of the casting, I'm sure. Yes.
This is the picture that you're referring to, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. That's a great one.
Larry, let's talk about that. We'll go back to talking about a song in a second here, but in the next season, you do continue going down this road with this story.
If it worked once, you know, just try it again. But no, we just progressed it more because we thought we could really, again, vertically integrate the characters, especially Valerie and David, you know, and they share this thing of suicidal parents. And, you know, I had forgotten, Jessica was involved in this electroshock thing. She kind of took me by the hand through it. And I remember, so I felt all right about going down this direction. And I think it works pretty well. She had done all the research on it. I certainly did. I know she did. And, it becomes a great episode about, you know, inheriting mental illness. I mean, it gave Brian a chance to really get his chops into something and everybody, you know, so it elevates everything. That was an episode that's directed by Bethany Rooney. So it has some wonderful looks to it. You know, Bethany, right?
I've just got to tell you something. When I watched this episode now, I saw her name and I thought she was a brand new friend of mine because I did her whatever that law procedural is. She's always directing in New York. And then I did another weird television show with her. Just recently, in the last year, I've done like three shows with her. And I'm going to call her tomorrow to tell her that you don't even know, and I didn't know, that we'd worked together like, 30, 40 years
ago. Well, you did a great, that was a tough, again, you're kind of you're in a hospital bed that whole show pretty much. And
I know, no.
We let you turn to your left or right at one point.
Oh,
at the end, that's the big dramatic thing. Let it move to the right.
Larry, there is some heavy stuff there, electric shock treatment, some of this stuff that you guys are talking about in that episode. And then there is all the stuff with, Valerie and David on the cliff.
Yeah, and we take it because we know we're going to be doing more with Valerie and her backstory, which, again, in seeing these episodes now, we leave a lot of clues for ourselves. We left a clue of who David's mother was and who Mel's wife was. We never really filled that out. Same way we never filled out Kelly Taylor's father. And eventually you can harness these things and bring them in. And you get some earned moments with it because they're real relationships. But yeah, it was just, I'm happy to see that we were able to do that. We just thought that there was a real good bond for Valerie. We could give her some dramatic stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about that scene with them on looking down on the highway. Do you remember putting that?
Yes, I do, and that's in Santa Monica. We shot it. We're all hanging out at the Shangri-La Hotel then. But I think we also bring that scene back at the end of season 7. I think where Valerie's going to basically, she puts herself there. Everyone's graduating, and she's bumming out. So we even harvested that one more time. But yeah, that was a great look, just being on the edge there and people who really, are testing the limits of whether they want to live and die, what it means to live and what it means to die. What are you going to miss?
I want to show you the scene from the season 6 episode where you and Brian have this conversation, Caroline, in the hospital.
Give me your hand. Will you be there when I wake up? I want your face to be the first one that I see.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Good. Now you better go home and get some sleep. You look as if you could use it.
Nice. Really great stuff.
Yeah, I think, and then we bring her back, and she has the Thanksgiving, right?
She does come back. That's a little more chill, she's more chill,
but she's like becomes obsessive compulsive in the kitchen it's good.
The turkey is going to be
with the turkey.
Yeah, that was Jessica.
But for Caroline on this stuff, I'm curious from an acting perspective, and Matthew, I'm curious about this too. Just your process in becoming this mother with this mental health issue, and doing some of this stuff with Brian. I'm sure it's, you guys are working off each other and all that. But where do you go to become these people? I'm curious for Caroline's particular.
Caroline, don't tell him. These are secrets. These are acting secrets. Is he insane?
I know. It's always for me, a lot of it is sort of almost like childhood play. What if?
Yeah.
What if I was mentally ill? What if my son came to comfort me? But what if I saw that he looked tired? So a lot of, and I have mental illness in my family. My mother was very depressed, as well as my cousin. So I've got it in my family. So a lot of that stuff was extremely familiar to me. So none of that was sort of something I had to work to know what that feels like. It's interesting because I didn't have kids at that time. I had my kids much older when I was like in my 30s, my late 30s. And but her protectiveness towards her son, I like that bit now that I've re-seen it, because that's very much the way I feel about my children, not putting my burdens on them. And then the only other thing I would say was that am not a big fan of enormous boo-hooing from the actress all over the screen, you know. I always feel pulled back a little bit. I mean, I wanted to cry there, but it was like, let the audience be moved. It's not about me being moved by my or David's Brian's performance. I don't know. So that was a very jumbled answer. I'm sorry.
No, but I'll tell you something. It was perfect. That is so much more effective. You know, I studied with Sandy Meisner, and he used to say all the time, anybody can cry tears when you can have one tear just come down your face. That's
it. Yeah.
That's what you did there. That is much more powerful when your eyes filled up there than if you had been screaming. It was beautiful.
Wait a second. You're saying there wasn't glycerin used? It was not fake?
No, I used glycerin.
Oh, thank you.
She would never do that. I did. I did. Do you know what Bette Midler did? They used to talk about when she and other at Greta Garbo. I heard this too. She used to pull a hair out of her nose.
Oh,
when she, which brings tears to your.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Carolyn's got that now.
Yeah.
Going into her toolbox.
I hope I don't have hairs in my nose. That's one part of aging I don't want to deal with.
I mean, you might have to use tweezers of this.
That's so funny.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Matthew, same question for you though, doing some of this stuff. And I know you talked about your love for Brian and all that, but what else? I mean, doing some of this stuff, where is it coming from?
Here's the hardest thing for me was at that time in my life, I was not married and I had no children. And so the love that I felt for Brian came from, and I've told you this too, from knowing him when we worked on that show 5 years before that, and wanting to, the same thing kind of that Caroline just said about wanting to protect him. That's a feeling that you find, I don't know how to say this, you find it in another part of your life. That's the what if part. What if my twin brother were going through this? How would I react? How would I shield him? People I love, what if they were going through it? And then you get to a place where when you feel like that emotion is real, then I would just look at Brian. And that was enough for me. I mean,
Nice, beautiful stuff. Charles, there's a couple other things they want, you know, we have to talk about in these episodes here. The Ray, Donna, and David thing, you know, Ray is, as you guys said a little bit before, and a lot of people had questions about this, he's a little bit darker than I remembered. You know, he's aggressive. And I mean, he pushes Donna and all of this. What's your thoughts on looking back on this?
Yeah, that was weird.
Right?
Well, that was the precursor. You had to set the stone up to be doing it at the end of the season. You had to show that there was a propensity for that kind of behavior. So you had to set it up. It was a little... yeah, it was the opposite of rolling with the punches, that's for sure.
I think we thought of, you know, in our defense, I mean, we knew we were going to, this was a blue collar character, and we thought that there was some, you know, dramatic stuff in there, obviously. And we had a path, because I think in the next episode, which we've seen, P.S., you know, the end of the season was P.S. I Love You, which we saw some stuff with him and his mother, and we find out that the father, his father, used to abuse the mother. And, you know, and Ray
almost, yeah, that's almost, unfortunately, in these situations, it's almost a given.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to go there, but we're going to actually send him to therapy and make a better person of him. You know, just kind of the way we kind of took Sheila Silver and gave her a new brain. We're going to kind of make it better. And but you know, unfortunately, on the way there, it just did catch me by surprise watching it again, and I felt bad. I mean, we put him in a situation again. We like the conflict of the triangle where David all of a sudden shows up with Donna because he's got his thing to find his mother, and she's basically seeing Ray, and it worked out pretty well. And it does get to an interesting place. But the Ray, we were basically setting up the end of the season, like Chuck said.
Wasn't that ahead of its time, too, dealing with maybe domestic violence like that?
I think so. I mean, you know, it seemed like fresh territory.
Absolutely, and I know you got to get out of here pretty soon, Matthew, but we thought we were... We always had a great deal of confidence anytime we took on a social issue because we had done so many right from the start. And right. The fact of the matter is that this one we didn't really get a chance to rectify and make things whole in the way that we were able to in so many of the other subplots. That's why it makes us feel kind of hinky because we couldn't get that moment. And you have it here. Ray gives David the keys to the car. You know, the moments of turning around. I'm really going to be okay. There is wisdom and humanity there. We didn't have enough built in, or at least, you know, into six enough to make it that we could do something else with the character. We were too far down a road and look, you can, you know, you see, you know, how it been in the 90s. These stories were buried deep. You know, now there are primetime fodder, and I don't mean just on shows, but in life, and people talk about them and commissions and this, and not back when we were doing it. So we were up against a more of an obstacle that I think we.
I think you're amazing that you brought up these kinds of stories.
Our intentions were good. We could have really maybe helped someone in that kind of relationship. If Donna goes through it. That was the whole idea. What was, you know, fueling us? Like Chuck said, we had confidence that we could kind of do some good with it, but we just unfortunately we couldn't get to it quick enough.
Of course, the other thing happening in this episode is Dylan. And well, there's a lot of Dylan and Valerie, which is really cute stuff. And she's going to get a tattoo. And then he's going to be doing all of this sort of past lives, hypnotizing and all this stuff, Chuck. There's a lot to unpack there. But why don't you tell me about the Dylan storyline?
Well, the coolest part, we all reacted to it. If you see this episode, I don't know if last time you saw it, Matthew, and he drives to Dylan to go to meet this hypnotist. He drives through the fire zone of Malibu, and there's only like two houses standing, and everything else is just a chimney. And I remember that was the summer after we had stayed there the summer before, actually, but we knew we had got to know Malibu very well, and the fires actually went to the door of the house we stayed at, where we stayed that, so which was our summer home the summer before. You know, it was a... Malibu's had, unfortunately, other subsequent fires since then. But that one seemed to be the most visible, and like this whole thing's going to get wiped out. So I like that part of it. And in terms of the regression therapy, you know, it was good to have the script. The irony, of course, is that I wrote this in 95, and in 97, but my best pilot didn't get on the air, but it should have with Fox, with my partner Roland Jaffe, and it was all about regression therapy over time. So we used this, and you know, with Kim Raver was the young lead that no one knew yet, but she was going to be the lead. Mm.
Well, Matthew, you do have to get going, so I want to say goodbye to you, and just want to let you know we think your work and these episodes are just absolutely incredible, man. And we love when you come by here on this show. I can't people are saying beautiful things about you and your performances here, and thank you so much for...
How much this all means to me, all of it. And I could never thank you guys enough for including me and all the people I've gotten to see after all these years. It was great to see you, Caroline.
It's great to see you too, darling. Really.
All right. Good seeing you, Matthew.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Bye.
All right. So, I mean, I think, you know, the other thing, too, is the people were asking about the fact that you guys brought this up earlier. There's no Brandon. There's no Kelly. There's none of those other things happening in this story. Now, we thought when we watched it in the because of maybe double ups is what we thought it might have been. Do you think that's what it is, or was there just?
Pretty much, and we probably imagine it was the Double Jeopardy show.
That's right.
That had all those actors. You had Claire. You had Jay. You had Kathleen. You had Jason. You had Kelly. You had and
Alex Gabby, Trebek.
And Alba Shalom, Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun to be there. I made a point of, and I have some of the stuff I wrote, some of the letters, and that one was, you know, a love letter from me to the show saying how much I'd love to do an episode, you know, on it and thinking, spinning how it could be, because knowing, but it would really be an easy way to have my character have enough money to pay for college if I could get on this show.
That's funny. This, but, you know. Larry, what about in the one from season six that we were talking about earlier? I mean, you did kept bringing Caroline back. Was there something that you just loved about her performances?
Put him on the spot.
Oh, yeah, I mean, also for Brian. I mean, you know, it was, you know, for the David Silver character, who, you know, who probably had touches of mental illness, and I think you know, we had, you know, mental illness around us, that kind of bipolar quality, which we kind of gave to David, and, you know, from his mother, it all made sense. And I have to see some of the season seven stuff to see where it went with David. I can't remember anymore. So
yeah,
I am making that up. But did we bring you back again, Carolyn? Did you come back on the show ever after that, after the electroshock? Yeah. Well, the breast.
I had the turkey one.
Right. That's the last one you did?
I think that was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, we probably should. Yeah, I mean, look, we played that out pretty well, and I think we do take David a chance to. He does get a little bit crazy. I think he has the Vegas thing when his grandfather dies,
and right?
Some other stuff happens. I have to really kind of study it myself, but no, it was just it was fantastic to have real acting going on and to be able to give Brian and Matthew and Carolyn something that, you know, that we thought was pretty good. Again, our show did not get a lot of respect. And so maybe now when people see it, they go, holy shit.
You killed the grandfather?
David, we killed the grandfather, Chuck.
Why?
But he gives the car to David that he would never let Mel Silver drive, the Thunderbird.
Yeah.
It's a very touching story where between Matthew would go crazy on this one, where, you know, basically he was passed over by his own father because his grandfather liked his grandson better and left him the car.
Well,
so it's kind of a cool episode.
No,
and I think the car is a Thunderbird. It's like a classic Thunderbird.
Wow.
Yes, it's a good episode.
Yeah, so we killed the father.
We could have killed
the old guy. We would have
killed Sheila.
What's her name? Sherry Weiss says that Caroline was in season seven. She was in If I Had a Hammer. Yeah. So,
of course I was. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen that one. I have no idea.
Season. You know, I just remember.
This was one we did, Chuck, in coordination with what's the one? Habitat for Humanity, the people who build the houses for you?
Uh huh. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it with them. We built a house for Willie.
That's great.
It's great. It was great.
Where are you in your brain when you hear about some of these things where you're like, oh, they built the house for Willie? Powerful stuff happening in this season. Yeah.
Wesley Gluck, his name was.
Hey, I want to show people really love that scene, Larry, that you guys wrote with Valerie and David on the ledge. So I'm going to show that
because
people are asking to see that.
What did I come here for?
You get back over here, there's slides all the time.
Yeah, that's right. The bottom can fall out from under you. Without any warning at all. Just like life. Scared?
Scared.
If you want to end it, here's your chance. If you want to jump, go ahead. I won't stop you.
I mean,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's really.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Well, I think, you know, it's all like, you know, he's looking at his mother and that's his future. He's going to end up as an electroshock, a zombie, just like his mother, and only get to turn right once in the whole show. No, just kidding. It's pretty cool. Like I said, I think we bring it back. I have to see the episode again at the end of season 7, you know, where Valerie then goes to the same place.
Yes, they do. That does happen.
I sort of remember that. Yeah.
Caroline, when you look back on your work on 90210, I know it's a very long time ago. You said all good memories. Do you still get recognized for this work?
Yes, it's so surprising the things that people sort of remember, because I don't look anything like that really anymore. I got all my little wrinkles and everything, but people do. They normally first recognize me from Gossip Girl, and then they'll be like, but, you know, when they're people a little bit older, but then they'll be like, well, wait a second, because everybody knows Brian. You know, he's like a, you know, big star, and being a big star's mother is a place to be. And so, didn't you, Brian Austin? And I'll go, yes, I played his mother. And then they'll be, oh my gosh, that was like such an intense scene. They really, the people who do recognize me from that are, incredibly, they remember those episodes, because I think it was like very unusual in a cast of young, beautiful people to suddenly have a show that delved into, you know, mental illness and electroshock and all of this kind of stuff. And it was very truthful. And Brian's a very truthful actor, you know, as is my, you know, sweet ex-husband. So it really grabbed them, you know. And they remember these. It's lovely. I love it when people remember stuff I've done years and years ago, you know.
Yeah.
Further back, the better. You think, oh, doesn't matter. It was worth doing, you know, and it's nice to be remembered.
You know, Larry, something that you said in the watch along too was, you know, because Sheila, or we always had heard about Sheila Silver. I don't know that we've ever called her by that name, but we heard about the ex-wife for, you know, in the previous years. But you talk about in the watch along taking a shot on something that on a character that, you know, we had not really gone too far with. So was that a part of this writing Sheila into this too?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you have a lot to get into, because it's a major relationship. I mean, it's just, it was left there as a blank, you know, blank canvas. And you got a chance to really, you know, try to find the great storylines, which we were looking at, because, you know, we were doing 32 hours a season. That's
wow.
Because a lot, you know, again, a lot of it was manufacturing, you know what I mean? So it's the circumstances called, we need storylines for people. And, you know, you sit there and, you know, you kind of spill out like 15 Brian story, you know, David Silver storylines. And that one's, you know, that one had some resonance to it. That's what, that one's got some gravitas, you know, you can really do something with that. And it had legs too. I mean, that's the great thing. See how it grew. And you could just constantly, you know, it was a gift to kind of keep on giving a little bit. You write some more story.
Earlier, I saw Molly Campbell in the chat here, and she said hello to everybody.
Hey, Molly.
I wanted to reference the fact that you named the
the therapist Molly Campbell.
This is named Molly Campbell.
It's a different Molly, not Molly Harris Campbell.
Right.
Same one. It's the same one. She just didn't know. She lived it in another lifetime.
It was a term of endearment that she was a past life therapist.
Had either of you had anyone tell you when you were about them living in a past life when you were, or after the show, had anyone tell you that, oh, I lived in a past life as well? Did they like comment on?
Well, when we do the Patreon, I'll just talk about where this came from. This was a very specific moment, and I could do a basis of it now, I guess. But
yeah
it freaked me out. It like, why is this happening in this way? And it was when I was with Karen, and I used to say, oh, she would be my soul. She must have been my girlfriend in a previous life or things like that. And I, you know, I have a fear of heights. So where do you get a fear of heights from? Or where do you get this from? Or things just that, you know, kind of, you know, weird kind of psychological things like that. But more importantly than that, I was a really good in American history. I mean, from like the day I walked into school. So... And then all of a sudden, you start doing it a little bit more, and there I am, and I'm leaving college. I'm in college, and am I going to become an academic? And why is my specialty 1876 to 19, 12? Why is it that everything, and a lot was going, it's a fascinating time in American history, but why did everything come so east of right? So now it's 1981. I haven't written this show yet, haven't done, you know, this. I've been married to my wife for 4 years. She's just taken the bar exam. We're in England. We go to the V&A Museum. And if you know the Victoria and Albert Museum, what it is you walk into giant halls, and there are different things. It's almost like put on, you know, just on around the circumference there. And you look and you can say, oh, what is that? And, well, what's that? I walked into 10 of them in a row that were from, you know, the 18th century to the 21st century. And I'd see something and I'd walk towards it. And every single one was from 1876. Wow. Every single one was so familiar to me. Now, 1876, United States history is huge. It was the first time that the guy who got the popular vote did not become the president. Mm-hmm. Actually, the delegates voted in. It was the end of Reconstruction, guys. we've been paying the price ever since. But, you know, and it just happened to me again and again. And I said to Karen, finally, after like the 12th time, I must have been alive in 1876. Why is this happening this way? Mm. So consistently. So that's where it comes from. So blame the V&A. Blame, you know, Victoria and Albert. Don't blame me.
Yeah, no, I love it.
I'm just the artistic vessel.
Zara says Caroline's role made a huge impact on the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hey, Zara.
Hey, Zara. Thank you. Really cool stuff, guys. I think we've covered this episode pretty good. What do you think, Chuck?
I'm really glad I got, you know, I've said this before, that when you really are running a show, you're doing the thing that you don't really get, especially when the adult actors or the ones that did, I never got time to talk to you, spend any time with you. Yeah. It was very nice to do it all these years later.
Well, you're only a few miles away from me. When I come back to Santa Monica, I'll invite you for a drink.
That's right. I'll come up. Larry lives in Marina Del Rey, so we're all beach folk.
We'll all be there. Okay.
All right. You come back from Atlanta. Have a good session there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. All right. Now, Larry, next week, we're going to be covering Straight Shooter from season 7.
Yeah.
We have Dick coming on, right?
The guy who played Dick, Dick Gautier. And yes. The director, Chip Chalmers, who was hoping to be here, but he also directed Straight Shooter, which apparently won a PRISM Award. No one told me.
Yes, we had that conversation earlier today. It won a PRISM Award, so that was very...
A PRISM Award. It's not such a big thing.
I had to look it up. PRISM
Award. But your shrink's got nothing to do with giving an award.
I looked at it. It was for excellence in demonstrating substance abuse. They must have just been following my life.
So that's going to be next week, and then we'll see where we're going from there. But thanks again, Caroline, for stopping by.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join these gorgeous men, and you really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. We will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
I know how to get out of here.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.